We will spend our time in James today, but we're going to set our palate, set our plate with a little time in Hosea. Book of Hosea, if you're there, say amen.
Amen.
Well, that's good. All right, we're going to read most of chapter 1, starting at verse 2. Hosea chapter 1, verses 2 through 11. Bible says, "When the Lord began to speak through Hosea, the Lord said to him, 'Go, take yourself an adulterous wife and children of unfaithfulness, because the land is guilty of the vilest adultery in departing from the Lord.' So he married Gomer, daughter of Bileam, and conceived and bore him a son. And then the Lord said to Hosea, 'Call him Jezreel, because I will soon punish the house of Jehu for the massacre at Jezreel. And I will put an end to the kingdom of Israel. And in that day I will break Israel's bow in the valley of Jezreel.' Gomer conceived again and gave birth to a daughter. And the Lord said to Hosea, 'Call her Lo-Ruhamah,' which sounds like 'not loved.'" Okay, "For I will no longer show love to the house of Israel that I should at all forgive them. Yet I will show love to the house of Judah and I will save them, not by bow, sword, or battle, by horses or horsemen, but by the Lord their God." After she had weaned Lo-Ruhamah, Gomer had another son. And the Lord said, "Call him Lo-Ammi." Look at the bottom of your Bible if it has it there. It means "not my people." "For you are not my people and I am not your God. And yet the Israelites will be like the sand." This is a coming fruition that comes through the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. "Yet the Israelites will be like the sand on the seashore, which cannot be measured or counted. In the place where it was said to them, 'You are not my people,' they will be called the sons of the living God. And the people of Judah and the people of Israel will be reunited, and they will appoint one leader and will come out of the land, for great will be the day of Jezreel." Lord, we come and we celebrate the greatness of your day. Lord, we come this morning that we can indeed learn how to find traction in our lives as we would follow you with our whole hearts, our whole minds, and our whole souls. I pray in anointing this morning that we might indeed hear from you. There are those that are here this morning that are fatigued. I pray your spirit, Lord, quicken their spirit, Lord. And some of us need to hear. Open our ears to hear, Lord, that we might be guided and directed by you. And we'll give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen?
Amen.
I want to let you know today that I am glad I am not Hosea.
Amen.
I have a blessed wife. And I am blessed by my wife. Now, God has asked me to do some big things. Go to Bible college, leave my job, leave my life. Moved down to Mexico, took my blessed wife with me. Moved to downtown Sacramento, reaching out to the projects, addicts. Coming here, since coming here 18 years ago, God has asked us to start a soccer league, to reach out to this community, start this food ministry, to reach out to the community. And in the last few months, God has birthed this skate park over there. It's been under construction for the last year, and God has placed this skate park on my heart. And the challenge of this skate park ministry is that I'm not the guy. And I don't know if I got to find the guy or grow the guy. Rubber meets the road. God asks you to do things in your life, things will change. Can I get a witness on that?
Yes.
We are going into the skate park every day. Miguel is building relationships. Here we are, God. What do you want now? That's what Miguel says. Where are we going with this? God hasn't shown me yet. But we are going to know those kids, and those kids are going to know us. Here we are, God. What do you want next? It is a great place to be. Moldable in the hand of God. Hosea was. Are you? We have spent this month in the book of James. Rubber meeting the road. James 1:22. Don't merely listen to the word and deceive yourselves, but do the word. Engage the plan of God into your life. Let there be a transformation. James says we have a choice. Choice will last a lifetime. How do you choose? How are you doing? Problem is, many of us choose to deceive ourselves. People come into this very room lying to themselves and the people around them. Our deception lasts a lifetime. We play with the plan of God. The God game comes right down to it. Many of us are in this room for us, for what we can get. James exposes it all in chapter 3. It says, if you love God, it should show. You should be able to see it in your choices. Amen. Does it show in your life? Is it apparent? Is it displayed in your choices? James says many people are playing the game, a game with God. Come in for what you can get, but God would bless you so that you can be a person to give. Many of us are not interested in that. What do you want to do? What choice do you want to make? Because it is a choice for life. The title of today's message is, You Choose. We're going to talk about that choice. Amen?
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 Amen.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. We often choose empty lives. So now we will spend the rest of our time in the first many verses of James chapter 4. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You desire, but you do not have, so you kill. You covet, but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and you fight. And I have found, and James tells us, and many of us have found, that our pleasures will often leave us empty. Can I get a witness on that? And James here describes a life of conflict. And if you look around at our world, we see conflict. We see conflict in Charlotte. We see conflict in the Middle East. We see conflict all over. And the tension of conflict arises from our unsatisfied desires. James talked about desire that gives birth to sin, that gives birth to death. This is a different thing. That desire that he talked about back in chapter 1 was our sin nature. This desire is a desire for pleasure. Word here in Greek is hedonon, from where we get our word hedonism. And if you study philosophy, you can study about systems of hedonism in which the primary goal of life is pleasure. And you can look at our culture and see that hedonism is doing well. Online, hedonism. People filled with a desire for pleasure. And he talks about your desire for pleasure, but it's weightier than that. It's more than that. It is a hunger for pleasure. It is a lust for pleasure. It is a thirst, a need for pleasure. Images that popped into my mind this week were images of addicts who run after their drug and it ends up devouring them. I have spent a lot of time doing a lot of drugs and I found that there was never enough. I get a witness on that. Amen. And that the more you run after it, the more you run out. For many, it's a choice for life. God has a different way to live. God's life is a different life. Paul, in that life, he says, I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. I am on God's road and I am doing just fine. It is a change of heart. It is a difference from a life that is filled with lack. If I can do this. There we are. A life of lack. And so often that lack lasts for life. All right, let's continue on reading in verse 2. You do not have, anybody familiar with that? Living a life of lack? You do not have because you do not ask God. You look anywhere other than God to find the fullness in your life. And he says, oh, but when you do show up, when you do ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives. That you might spend what you get on your hedonism, on your pleasure. We want God to be something he's not. You know what? Somebody has moved this fan. It's not blessing me one bit. All right. There we go. Teddy, you're going to be cold when you start playing that bass again. When you come to God, when you finally get to the right spot, you're asking for the wrong stuff. Seeking to ask God, fill me up, Lord. You've been around drugs and addicts long enough, you will have seen somebody praying to God to get high. Oh, God, please. Let me find that pipe. Let me find that bag. Oh, God, please. I hurt so bad. We come to the right place and we ask for the wrong stuff. Can I get a witness? Anybody seen that? Yes. I've seen that. I prayed that prayer. I have prayed the prayer. God hears that prayer, this prayer. I was running from the police. I said, oh God, get me out of this. I will serve you with my life. He said, oh, I'll take that deal. He got me out. Took a while to find him, but he didn't forget that deal. Anyway. All right, here we go. See, we have a problem with our connection with God. We're asking for the wrong stuff. James describes a scenario that is frustrating to no end. It's frustrating for us, and it's frustrating for God. See, God's plan includes our provision. Jesus says, you can ask anything in my name, and you have it. The problem is we come to God, and we ask in our name. God is the solution for lack in our lives. But we are heading in completely opposite directions. I was shaken on Tuesday with some images that I wasn't able to shake. And I had dismissed them that I would not bring them to your attention. But These images were compiled by a man cataloging the atrocities of ISIS and the murder and the rape and the destruction. And this image of this girl is in my mind. And I talk about, I bring this up to discuss the savagery that occurs as we live life looking for pleasure. You kill, you covet, you can't have, you attack. This little 16-year-old girl being raped so much that she covered herself with gasoline and set herself on fire to make herself unattractive. Heinous. 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 That is what the desire of pleasure will lead you to. Empty lies. You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world means enmity against God? Therefore, anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. We are surrounded by the enemies of God. It is easy to spot the man went and killed four women and some guy yesterday in a mall in Washington State, I believe. Immigrant of Turkey, killing in the name of Allah. Easy to spot the enemies of God. World presents options to the path of God, the plan of God. There are those who deny Jesus, who reject his sacrifice on the cross, enemies of God. But there is a whole nother group of enemies that we often miss. The friends of the world. Enemies of God. He says that these friends of the world are spiritually unfaithful to God. Amen. James uses the word adulteress here for a female adulteress. It is a word to gather and garner your attention. I want to read from Hosea in the King James Bible. Go and take thee a wife of whoredoms and children of whoredoms, for the land hath committed great whoredom, departing from the Lord. You see, the church is to be the bride of Christ. And it is the desire of pleasure that snaps the head of the church away from the Lord. And he is a jealous God. He is grieved by the desire and the reckless running after pleasure that is displayed in the church. Ezekiel 6:9. How I have been grieved by their adulterous hearts. Friendship with the world. No big deal. Oh, it's a big deal. Amen. Probably have heard of this big deal this week. That Brad Pitt on set for some movie he's making, I got no clue what it is. My wife really doesn't allow me to go see Brad Pitt movies. And I don't go see Angelina Jolie movies. But supposedly, he was physically involved with his co-star and prostitutes and drugs and alcohol on the set. And Angelina Jolie said, I'm not having this. And that is what the Lord says. I'm not having this. This is not why I sent my son to die on the cross, so that you can be a friend of the world and run after your pleasure. Amen. I am a jealous God. Do you think Scripture says without reason that he jealously longs for the Spirit he caused to dwell in us? But he gives us more grace. And that is why Scripture says God opposes the proud but shows favor to the humble. I showed you a picture last week. It talks about the body, the soul, and the spirit. And the soul is the place where we live. The soul is the place where we think. The soul is the place where we make choices. It is our will. It is our emotions. And if you read your Bible, and if you're familiar with your Bible, and I have some daily reading logs on my desk if you would like some. I've started doing some mentoring with some folks, and we're reading through that. It will help you get an understanding. In the book of Genesis, that God created Adam from the dirt. And as Adam was there, God breathed life into this body, and he put a spirit in Adam. Adam was created in the likeness of God. And what James tells us here is that God longs for that spirit that he put into Adam. That God longs for the spirit that he placed within you. And as you go running off after the pleasure of the world, he is jealous for the spirit and the life that he has placed within you. He is a jealous God. He is not willing that any should perish. He is patient. 1 Peter 3:9. God is patient with you, not wanting any to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. And there is an expectation in heaven, a desire for you to be part of God's plan forever. Amen. It's a choice for life. It is the proud and the arrogant that believe that they can do better than the plan of God. It is the humble person who surrenders their plan to the Lord. It is the humble person that seeks out the Lord and his plans for them. And it is that person who lives in the favor of God. It is a choice for life. Amen? Amen. I got to tell you, we're making a contrast of the love of the world and the love of pleasure and a life of pleasure and the emptiness and the harm and the damage that occurs as people run after that. And there was a man who had come to this church. And I talked with him about his story just this week. One of the guys that I am doing mentoring with, meet weekly, reading through the Bible. I said, so what's your story? And he said, well, I was committing suicide. Wow. Okay. He said, my wife had died in 2012. And I had no reason to live. And so I was killing myself daily. I said, what was your method? He said, methamphetamine. But I wanted to be dead. I said, so what happened? He said, I came here. My friend brought me to a service, and I received the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. And I no longer want to kill myself. Amen. I have a new hope and a new fullness in my life. And I am transformed in my existence. I've only known this guy as this jolly guy, man. You see the Lord first time he showed up.
Amen.
God is good, amen. Amen? God's got a plan. When you stick your head up and you go running, you can run right into the arms of Jesus. Amen? All right. 11 commands to rearrange your life. This is chapter 4, verses 7 through 10. I'm going to chop it in half for you. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. That's three. Submit, flee, and come near. Tracking with me so far?
Amen.
All right? Submission is the secret of success. Submission is the secret of success. Hallelujah. There we go. Sometimes you got to work at success, submission to get it. Anyway, submission is a surrender of your will. Submission is a surrender of your soul. You give your soul to the Lord. What do you want, Lord? Where do you want me to go? You give God that place where you think, that place where you live, that place where you make choices. And when you surrender your soul to the Lord, you are on your way to obedience. What do you want, Lord? He says, resist the devil, and he will flee. Paul talks about giving the devil a foothold in our lives. I talked about that last week with some various images to give you how the devil just reach right into your life and mess you up. You're running after pleasure. Oh, man, you're just opening your life up to the devil to come and slap you down. It's like an addict. Man, this thing is slow. Sitting there just trying to fix all day long, getting tore up. And at some point, you have to stop. You have to take a stand. You have to make a fight. I did that. I took a stand and I caught a glimpse of God. And I said, God, I need a whole new course in life. I don't even know what I should want anymore. Anybody relate to that? God, you show me what I should want. And I'll grab onto that. And the greatest thing of all was when I stood up and I started running, I ran right into our Lord Jesus Christ and his nail-pierced hands. Amen. All right. Becoming annoyed with, there we go. It takes work to make change. I'm going to talk about these other 11 things that James says that we need to do. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts. That's two. You double-minded, grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning, your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. It takes work to make the change. You come in here and you want to work out your life? We got all kinds of help for you. God will deliver you out of some stuff, but he's going to have you work through some other stuff. I need somebody to turn that phone on. Like work. It says, wash off your old lives. There's some stink that's on you from your previous lives. All that pleasure, wash it off. Grieve, mourn, and wail. The adulterous life is not something that you just stroll away from. Can I get some help back there from an usher or somebody? Thank you. When it comes right down to it, see, you're just not going to walk out of the adulterous lifestyle because when it comes right down to it, you kind of like that pleasure. And you don't want to give it up. Your love affair with the world has to be killed, mourned, and buried.
Amen.
If you're going to kill it, you got to see it for what it is.
Amen.
You're going to take a knife, stick it right through the heart. Those activities, that adulterous lifestyle. And when it's dead, you can mourn it because it's not coming back. And you're going to be sad because you're going to miss that pleasure. Drive a stake right through its heart. Dead, dead, dead. It's not coming back. Be sad. Let it just rot and wilt. Be sad. Cry tears. Once your tears are done, it's not coming back. And then dig a hole. You dig a hole, it's personal. You will get dirty. And you dig that hole, you dig that grave, and you throw that adulterous component of your life down in the bottom of that hole, and you say, it's dead, and you start throwing dirt on it. And you pack that dirt down. You grieve, and you mourn, and you wail. You kill, and you mourn, and you bury. And you can move on. And that old life is going to come back and grab you anymore. It is a choice for life. And too many people playing a game. You double-minded. You can't double. Can't two-time God. It's a personal act. It's an intimate act. And when you come out of it, you'll be different. You'll be humble. You will be malleable in the hand of God. And it is when you are like that that God will lift you up. Amen. Is that you today? Is that your choices today? Question for you today is, what needs to die in your life? As you come in here today, are you an enemy of God? Are you a friend of the world? Easy to tell. What'd you do last week? What choices did you make? Where are your priorities? They are choices for life. Ladies, filled this room on Friday night. Praying. Choice for life. Many opportunities to submit to the will of God. Choices for life. Feels good. Feels good to choose life, amen? Amen. Dave, you going to play for me? I don't see my wife. God has blessed me with a good wife. Today, God has blessed me with Dave. Good to have you here, Dave. Some of you come into this room and you continue to make choices that you've been making your whole life. You just feel the same. So some of you, these same choices will lead to death. And Jesus comes among us, and he says, if you're going to choose death, choose mine. He says, I hung on a cross for you, that you might have life, and have it abundantly, that you might have it to the full. If you're going to choose death, choose mine. Because if you give your life away, I'll give you a new life. That's my plan. Fullness of life. Do you have it this morning? You choose. I hope you have made that choice. I hope you celebrate. I hope right now that the Holy Spirit inside you is going, woohoo! Because the Bible tells us that His Spirit bears witness to our spirit. He says, you're my kid. But there still might be some things that got to be put to death in our life. Amen? There could be a little desire that's running rampant in our hearts. that keeps us from embracing our Lord and Savior, that keeps us from being transformed. You got to kill it, you got to mourn it, you got to bury it. Now, you might be in here this morning, it might be a massive, huge character issue like what Brad Pitt is facing. God might not be very happy with you or very close to you in this moment. He still says, you're going to choose death, choose mine. I paid for your sin, but you have to realize that it is sin. You have to turn away from it. You have to come running to me, and I'll put my arms around you, and you can start a brand new life. See, it's a choice for life. You're here this morning, and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. You're here this morning, and your desire for pleasure is so overwhelming in your life, you can't even get a glimpse of God. Today, you can choose life. Perhaps you come in here and you have chosen life and you have chosen His life and you have made a transformation, but this morning the Lord says there is this thing, this resentment, this bitterness, this anger, this love of money, this love of the world, this love of pleasure, your leisure life. I know you love me, but we need to get some priorities straightened out this morning. So you might be in here this morning with a huge, massive barrier between you and God. Or you might have some small things that are tripping you up during the week. When the rubber meets the road, you get used to dealing with either and both. So we're going to have an opportunity to do some killing this morning. And it could be something big, and it could be something small. But something needs to die, and someone needs to be sad, and something needs to go in the ground so that we can move on in the plan of God. In the plan of life. Amen? Amen? Lord, I pray your goodness and your mercy in this place. I pray, Lord. I pray death come this morning that life might come. I pray transformation come this morning that a new path and a new plan might come. Lord, I pray this morning, Lord, your spirit, Lord, as you are a jealous God, and the small things that get in the way between us and you, Lord, should not be tolerated, Lord, and that you would speak to our hearts, Lord, and that you would show us and give us direction, Lord, so that we can find new fullness in you. You are here this morning, and you have massive issues in your life that keep you miles from God. And nobody is looking around, but you are saying, God, I'm going to kill this thing. Lord, I don't know if I can get my arms around it. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. This thing needs to die in my life. I want to catch a glimpse of you. I want to come running. I want to know you as the author and finisher of my faith. I want to be transformed in my existence. I have this massive, massive barrier in my life that needs to die right now. With nobody looking around, that's you. I just want you to slide your hand up and say, that is me this morning. Transform my situation. Right here, back here, back here. Anybody else over here? Anybody else? Say, that's me. That's all your hands. You can put them down. You can put them down. All right. All those people put their hand down, and you're feeling bad. Because God said you got something to kill. It's big. It's got to die. Why won't you surrender that to me? You got a better plan? You don't want to be humble in my hand? You prideful, arrogant person, you think you have a better plan than me? I just told you, you got a massive issue in your life. It needs to be killed this morning. And you have told me no. that is you this morning and you want to go running in to the arms of our Lord Jesus Christ, you did not respond earlier and the Lord is on you right now. This is your opportunity. Do not leave here the same way you walked in. Grab that thing in your life. Ask the Lord to drive a stake through it and begin to mourn. Is that you this morning? Just slide your hand up just real quick. Buddy here, put your hand up. Your hand was already up. Somebody else say, that's me. Anybody say, that's me. Anybody else? It's for you. Lord, I come to you this morning. You know the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior, but right now he's saying, man, you got some stuff that's going on that I'm not real happy about. I need you to be malleable in my hand. I want to do great things with you. I don't want you to hold this back to me. I want you to be malleable in my hand. That's you this morning. It's a big enough issue for God to bring it to your attention. He did not tap you on the shoulder a moment ago, but he's tapping you on the shoulder right now, and he's saying, there is this thing, and I want you to deal with it. Don't be looking around. That's you this morning. I just want you to slide your hand up. It's a thing. God's talking right now to your heart. Back here. Somebody else say, that's me. Over here, yes. Somebody else say, that's me. Somebody else say, that's me. Back there, yeah. Worship team's going to come. We're going to stand. God is good and mighty and awesome. Lord, I thank you that we can come to our an understanding, Lord. Come to our senses, Lord. And then we can come running. Now, there's some big stuff out there that needs to get fixed. There's some small stuff out there that needs to get fixed. And where the burial site is right up here. Surgery happens. Death happens so that life can happen. God spoke to your heart. Wail and weep and mourn. This is the wailing place. This is the mourning place. This is the weeping place. Let surgery happen right here. That you can be transformed in your situation. God would mold you and lift you up. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
Or may we be serious.
Sing this song. I just encourage you to just come out from where you're at. Do some business with the Lord here this morning.